Good morning. Okay, this morning I would like to start off with, teaching you a Chinese phrase. You know, a phrase that means very educated, very thoughtful, even intelligent, clever. When the Chinese say you are very like 很有学问, okay, 学问, 学 directly translate is learn, 问 is how you ask a question. Okay, when you know how to ask a right question, you are a very intelligent, very educated, you are a very wise person. Why is this so? Because right answer usually come with right question. If you know how to ask the right question, that means you are a very thoughtful person. If you know how to ask the right question, that means you know the secret behind the question. If we don't know how to ask a question, that means we may not be educated, we may not be knowledgeable about certain things, so we ask wrong questions. So this is the Chinese way. This morning, I would like to share with you a, Bible story from Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 26. You know, this is a typical story about asking a wrong question, and then end up with a very sad life. It's what Jesus wants us to learn this morning. So let's read those verses together. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16. The next verse, 16, please. Okay? Yeah. Okay, let's read together. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All this I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Okay. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Okay, let's think about this incident, this story, or this conversation. When the young man came to Jesus, he asked a question, and then end up, he left with sadness. This is a kind of a picture for a human life in this world. You know, we seek and we search, we try to be successful, we try to be joyful, we try to enjoy this life, and then we start, our life in this world. And this young man, we from the Bible we know that he is a rich man. He is successful in some way. But successful in a way that he spent his life with sadness, very sad. That is not really what we are looking for. As Christian, we are looking for something that is more than just you know, like maturity richness. We are looking for interior, our, you know, our life, our inside life, our spiritual life. We have strength, we have peace. That is very important. Now, all the time I look at my family, my mom's side, they are very rich. They were very rich. Not now. They were very rich. When I was like 7 or 8 years old, I always liked to go to my uncle's house, my mom's brother's house. He is rich. He was rich. But I never really, you know, never experienced the joy, the peace in his house. My father's side, my grandpa, is a very not very poor, but is very simple man. I mean, he has very little in his house. But I can sense my grandpa. You know, he smiles from inside. You know, he has peace in his heart all the time. I ask myself, what is the secret? What is the secret? Okay, my mom, until last month, she has been paralyzed for 8 years already because of the stroke in 2004. And then I can see the strength from her heart, from her, you know, from her, because even though she couldn't move, she couldn't do anything by herself, and very restricted, and you know, very difficult life, and yet she always have word of encouraging, you know, word of, you know, just joy and praise the Lord. What kind of question are we asking? You know, it would be interesting to ask about Alicia and then Christopher. What kind of question they ask and then lead them to make a decision, want to go to become missionary? What kind of question that our family asks ourselves, that when we got the answer, we are sure that God wants us to go to Africa? Are we asking the right question? That is a very important thing in this life. If we ask about the world, if we ask about how to become very rich, if we ask about some other question, we may get it. We don't doubt about it. But is it something that we want? So the young man in the Bible said, came to Jesus and asked a question, and Jesus' response is, why do you ask me this question? Why? Have you think about why did you ask this question for? Jesus said, why do you ask me about what is good? When we come before the Lord, we ask a question. What do we expect? If we ask the wrong question, you know, come on, we just need to come before the Lord and listen. How our Lord responds to our question. Here, Jesus said, why do you ask me about what is good? The question was, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Sounds like a good question. But Jesus is God. He looked into, you know, the heart of the person who asked the question. He looked at the reason behind the question. He looked at the question that haven't been asked verbally, that behind the question. What good thing must I do to get eternal life? That means, am I good enough to enter the, you know, the heaven? Am I good enough to gain the eternal life because of what I have done? Do you know this? Once we have this kind of question, we try to do our best to make ourselves presentable. Like, everybody like me. Okay, I'm doing everything right. I mean, this is not a bad thing. But remember, when we put eternal life and doing good together, then we have problems. Then we have problems. Why we have problems? Because, you know, just look at the conversation. When Jesus say, okay, then if you want to be good and be perfect, you need to do this, and Jesus start giving him a list. No one in this world can satisfy all those requirements by doing good. When people start listing things for you and expecting you to do good and do it right, no one will do it completely right or satisfy people. There is no way. There is no way. That's why when Jesus came, and with the teaching of Paul saying that we are no more under the law, we are no more under those, you need to do this, do that, those kinds of list. We just cannot do it. So when Jesus lays down the list, and then until he reached one point, and the man said that there is no way to do it. I can't do it. I can't do that. There's no way. I'm rich. My desire for my whole life is to get rich. And now you say sell everything and share with the poor. There is no way I can do it because this is the code of my life, my meaning of my life. This is the only thing that I'm seeking for. I hope in this world I can gain all world, and then the next world I can go to have eternal life. And he tried. He tried to have everything right. He tried to have everything right. This person, the question he asked is like, I want to go to eternal, want to go to heaven, I want to be sure of having eternal life. But Jesus looked at him and knowing that the question behind is, the person is feeling like I'm good enough if I do everything right. That means I want to go to heaven, but by myself, by my own effort. This is wrong. So immediately Jesus said that there is only one person is good, and the person is God. You can't do it. You just can't. You just can't. So brother and sister, today what question are we asking ourselves? What question are we asking ourselves? What question as parents we ask our children? What question that our children ask about, you know, anything to you today? I have a little testimony from a young sister from Atlanta Church. We prayed for her for a little while because 2 months ago she was diagnosed with brain tumor. 10 years old. And then the email came out saying that her name is Cici, C-I-C-I. Actually, her name is Priscilla Chang, 10 years old. I mean, she started asking some good question, and then she decided to get baptized. This is her baptism testimony. My name is Priscilla Chang, and I will be 10 years old next month. Today, I would like to be baptized even if I'm the youngest one. I have been sick, and God healed me so that I can go to places I like to go and do things I like to do. When I was diagnosed with brain tumor, I could not walk well, see well, or swallow food well by the time. I was really scared of tumor in my head because I don't know how big it can grow, how bad it can be, and I don't even know what kind of trouble it will cause to me. I thank God for healing me, loving me, and in just 2 months, I am already almost back to normal. When the idea of baptism popped into my mind, I was so excited about it. I know I'm already a Christian, and I think it would be better to get baptized to make myself a real Christian. Besides, I want to be closer to God, so that God Himself can protect me from the horrible disease. Sometimes, when I'm really scared, and I don't want to talk to my parents about it, because I don't want them to worry too much about me, 10 years old. But from now on, I can always talk to God and He will always make a way for me. You know what? I just know that God will make a way for me because I can just feel it. Okay, she didn't ask much question here. But as she writes this testimony, I can see the question pop out in her mind all the time. All the time. Because she needs to make decision. 10 years old, she needs to make decision. 10 years old child asks what kind of question? for her, she is reaching, almost reaching the end of her life. Then she made sure overnight and asking some question that almost no 10-year-old children ask those questions. And she would like to make a decision. If I have another 2 years, how should I live my life? Then she say, okay, I need to get baptized because I'm a Christian. I want to show and let people know that I'm a Christian. That is a decision making come with a good question. Because she asked the question and she know the answer. And then she put it into action. That's a very important thing. And then she trust God because what? Because for the 2 months experience that she almost lost her life and she became very normal now. She still suffer a lot. And she realized I don't have a lot of time. So she start asking questions. How can I trust God? Can I trust Him? Even in this kind of situation like brain tumor, painful, horrible, a lot of people worry about her and she worry about herself also. And she start worrying about her parents. How can they take it? 10-year-old. So brothers and sisters, what kind of question are we asking? So ask the wrong question if we say, you know, what good should I do? And Jesus said, why you ask about this question? You can do nothing about it. In terms of entering eternal, you know, having eternal life. What you need to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But this person, he didn't realize it. He thought that if I can do good things, then I can earn the merit. I can become good enough to go to heaven. So what he concerned is to do. What should I do? What should I do? That is the problem. From verse 20 to 21, all this I have kept, the young man answered, what should I still lack? You know, he is thinking about, okay, my mom told me about you need to be a good boy, you need to do this and that. I have done everything right. I mean, this is a good boy. I mean, if I have a son like this, that's very, very wonderful. I mean, just saying that, okay, you tell me what to do, I will do it right. Very good. But unfortunately, you know, having the assurance of eternal life, being saved, is not by doing. It's by being. By who you are. How can we, you know, change ourselves from our old self and become a new person, become a person that we can have the assurance of, salvation? How can we do that? So Jesus' answer here is, you sell everything, then come, follow me. Because only Jesus can show us, you know, the way to eternal life. Only Jesus can do it. This person, he was a little bit frustrated with Jesus' answer because Jesus said, sell everything. And this is something that he will never do. How can I sell everything? That's impossible. That's impossible. Some Christian felt like, okay, here the teaching of Jesus Christ says sell everything. So if we want to be a good Christian, if we want to have assurance of salvation, we need to sell everything. This is not the point. This is the point of someone feel like, if I'm rich enough, if I'm good enough, then I have the better chance to have salvation. So with that kind of context, Jesus says sell everything. But Jesus never said to any other people saying that you need to do this, do that, in a whole list, and then plus you need to accept Jesus Christ. Jesus never said that. So this is a case study. What Jesus is saying is, follow me. The answer I can provide. You follow me. I will show you the way to salvation. I will show you the way to eternal life. So that is very important. That is very important. And then, you know, there is two impossible in these stories. The first impossible is you cannot earn salvation by doing good. That is impossible. Why that is impossible? Because Jesus start listing what you need to do, and very soon this young man, very good young man, hit the bottom and saying that there is no way I can do it. That's impossible. If you want to do good and then earn the merit and not have the eternal life, that is impossible. You can never satisfy all those requirements in the country, in the society, you know, the friends around you, the family's requirement. You just can't do it. It doesn't matter how good you are. There are some people pointing to you saying that you did this wrong. You can never satisfy everybody so that you can become good enough to go to heaven or good enough to be saved. That is impossible. So the second impossible is the question that the disciple asked. Verse 25, when the disciple heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? When they heard Jesus saying that the rich, it's very difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, you know, kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus said that unless they can bring a camel through a eye of the needle. And the disciples thought, this is kind of impossible. How can you bring a camel through the eye of needle? You know how big is a camel? Taller than you? The camel stand out the head, usually when not just stretch his head, just normal height. It's around 7 to 7.5 feet. The head. It's tall. But some big one, very tall. Even the back, you know, when I reach out like this, I can reach the back. That means the camel can be more than 8 feet tall. Big camel. Big one. How big is the eye of the needle? Have you have a needle at home? Like when we say needle is small already. The eye of the needle. How many people can put a string through the eye of a needle without your glasses on? I can't do it. So that is the comparison. The disciples said that is impossible. How can we do that? How can we do that? Okay, in Africa, we don't have this kind of example. But in the early day, in the Middle East, they have a country, they have war, you know, like surrounding the town or a country. And people live in there, and they have gates. You know, people go in and out to do business in the daytime. Around nighttime, certain hour, they close the gate so that no one can come in, no one can go out. So the thieves cannot come in, and the travelers will stay inside so that they are safe. Then some people come back from far away, and they are late. You cannot just leave them outside the wall because they can be dangerous. With the desert wind, cold season, you know, with thief, robber, that can be dangerous. So basically, the town with the wall on, the great wall, and they have small doors beside the big gate, the smaller doors. And the smaller doors is big enough for people to walk in and out. Average, you know, maybe 6 feet tall. But for a camel, if the camel come back with the owner, you know, at night time and the gate is closed, and they need to get into the wall. They need to go back to home to be safe. So the owner need to unload everything from the camel. And the camel need to kneel down and then crawl in. And then the boss will bring all the stuff in and put on the camel again. So that is the needle, the eye of the needle. If you compare the the small door with the wool, that is like an eye of the needle. That means the camel need to kneel down and be submissive to the boss. The boss say, okay, kneel down, and then I'll allot everything, and then you go through, and then after that we'll put the load back on you so that we can go back home. This is a procedure. This is a procedure of following the instruction. This is the procedure of the only way you can get into the gate. If the camel is stubborn enough saying that I'm not going in, you see how rich I am. Just look at what on my back, you know, I'm carrying. I'm not going in. The boss said, kneel down. How can I kneel down? You see how tall I can be? If they argue with the boss, with the owner, they'll never get into, the camel will never get into the gate, a small door, and then be inside the wall and be safe. That is the story behind. So, brother and sister, what are we talking about here? When the person, the rich young person, asked about good thing, he thought that I can do good thing in order to inherit, you know, the assurance of salvation. And Jesus said, no way. You cannot make up your own list and do everything and proclaim saying that I'm a good person because I have done all I need to do. So, Lord, I'm here in front of the heaven, the door of the heaven. Open the door, let me in. You just can't do it. You need to follow the instruction. And Jesus said, follow me. Follow the instruction. We Christians, we are so scared of asking the right question. Why? Because right question usually come with the right answer. And the right answer usually scare us a lot that we may not be willing to obey. If we try, you ask God very sincerely. Say, God, what you want me to do? You ask God and then see what He is going to say to you. It's not an easy thing to ask the right question. But even you are willing to ask the right question, it's not easy when you heard the right answer and then for you and for me to obey totally. This is what this young man experienced. This young man experienced, at first he asked the wrong question. And Jesus directed him all the way so that Jesus wanted him to ask the right question. And then when Jesus told him the answer of his real question, they scared him to death because he said, there's no way. How can I do it? I just don't want to do it. I can't do it. Because my whole life, my desire is to become rich. And now I'm rich. You want me to give up all this? Actually, this is very unusual for Jesus to ask him to give up everything. Even though if he isn't going to give up everything, if he decide to follow Jesus, he will find salvation. But he just felt like, you know, asking wrong question and try to be someone that he wants to be, but he is not satisfied. And then he starts seeking for a right question, and Jesus show him something, and then he cannot take it. So, brother and sister, how are we going to live our life? How are we going to live our life? It was hard. In the 70s, when I asked the question, I was scared to death. Because, you know, in a huge revival meeting, I was a cold Christian. I mean, cold in heart. That means I'm not involving any ministry in the church. I don't want to do with anything in the church, like, you know. So, but somehow I still call myself a Christian. So I was far behind in a pure church with maybe 2,000 people. I was out there in the last row. And when the preacher was preaching, and that really, I felt like the Holy Spirit worked in my heart. I was scared. I don't know what to say and how to respond. And then the question just came out in my heart. You need to obey.
And I asked God, what do I need to obey for? And then, why I left the church? Why I was so cold? I was the chairperson in a youth group. And I left church for three years. When I say I left church, doesn't mean that I don't sneak into different churches sometime on Sunday. I did that. But I was far away. And God just showed me, why are you frustrating? Why are you disappointed about? I just said I cannot stand the Christian in the church. They are so sad. And they are so not real. Well, of course, a young person, what do I know about, you know, other Christians? But for some reason, I was so discouraged. And then Jesus just speak to me in my heart, just saying that, then you live a real Christian life. Don't bother about how people live a Christian life. You do it the right way. And I said, how can I do it? I am so discouraged. But those are all excuses. And then, you know, when the preacher is saying, who wants to accept Jesus Christ, stand up. And I didn't stand up. I thought I'm a Christian, even though I don't think I'm a good Christian. I don't want to stand up. But in my heart, I asked a question. If I want to be a real Christian, what does that mean? And God saying that, you know, just follow Jesus. You know, offer everything, commit yourself to Him. And if our Lord lead me to full-time ministry, you obey Him. Wow, I asked the wrong question, because the answer came back and just struck me. I asked myself, person like me can involve in full-time ministry, I can commit myself into full-time, how can I do it? I struggle a lot. But when I ask the right question, doesn't matter how my response is, God's grace is sufficient. Slowly, He just lead me and help me to grow in Him. Ask the right question. So, brothers and sisters, when you read the Bible and Jesus say, what do you want me to do for you? Those are good questions. Are we afraid of answering Him? Those are good questions. So I don't want any person today here, we walk away from this church this Sunday sad. We don't want that happen to any one of us. So ask God a good question. Ask ourselves a good question. And you know, the answer from Jesus is quite standard. In verse 21, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Those are very, very encouraging words. So if we ask the right question, and then we'll receive the right answer, and that will make our lives different in this world. So brother and sister, doesn't matter how old we are, we ask God to help us to ask a good question, the right question, with boldness, because the answer can be demands something from us to obey the question. That is very important. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you this morning, because through this story in the Bible, the conversation in between Jesus and this rich young man, Lord, you want us to learn how to ask the right question. And then when we have the right answer, you want us to learn how to obey you, so that we can really, enter the salvation, assurance of salvation. We can have the assurance of your blessing, your guidance. We just want to thank you. And ask the Lord this morning, you help us to realize that we need to ask the right question. Doesn't matter how old we are, doesn't matter where we are, who we are, Lord, because you have all the answers. So we want to thank you. We just pray the Lord, you help us, so that when we have the answer, we can obey you without any hesitation. We want to thank you for everything.
bless us and just encourage us to grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.